Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Paskya Tadesha Tarane Hare Krishna. So I've been asked to give a little bit of the history of Jamuna Devi Dasi in Prabhupada's service for those who are unfamiliar with her history. So that story begins, as Jamuna Prabhu recalled it. I must put a footnote here that Jamuna, in line with Srila Prabhupada, addressed her god sisters as Prabhu. Prabhupada addressed his female disciples as Prabhu, and Jamuna did too, so please excuse me while I address Jamuna as Prabhu. I know today in ISKCON that's not widely recognized. But she tells a very dramatic story of how sometime in 1966 she was in a home in Oregon enjoying the mountainous region of Oregon, and at the time there was a violent storm, as there is from time to time in the Oregon mountains, and she was on the porch of this home just relishing nature's wildness. And there she saw a mailman come through this storm. Now, this is the 60s. It's the time of hippies in America. This mailman had long hair, which was dripping wet. And he went up the porch, the steps of the porch, to her. And from his mail pouch, he pulled out a letter addressed to her. It seemed that that was the only letter he had in his mail pouch. And this letter was from her sister, Jan. Now, Jan had gone to New York City with her boyfriend, Michael. Michael was a musician. And this letter said, much to Joan at that time, Jamuna was Joan, much to Joan's surprise, that Jan and Michael were getting married by a swami. And would Joan please come to attend the wedding? So this was totally unexpected, but Joan took the first available flight she could to New York City. And there she went to 26 Second Avenue. And as she describes it so poetically and beautifully, she saw the Swami. He was bathed in sunlight. And it was the summer, so he had this sannyas top on. And his skin was golden. And he was smiling radiantly and welcomed her there. So she didn't, she was not expecting this, she was not used to it, but she was very attracted to him. And at that time she was following a macrobiotic diet. So the Swami, as part of his graciousness, he offered her a ball that was dripping in sugar water, a brown ball. And she took it in her hand, not knowing quite what to do with it. And the sugar water was dripping through her fingers. And the Swami very lovingly indicated that she should eat it. So she hadn't had sugar for a long, long time. But nonetheless, she ate this gulab jamun. And as we know, the gulab jamun, once you chew it, the sugar squirts out in your mouth. So she was having this unique experience while the Swami was observing her. So the wedding was going to be just the next day. And the Swami said to Joan, "So what other relatives are coming?" Because we know in India, the Swami was from India, when there's a wedding, their relatives come from the entire country. Distant relatives, close relatives, hundreds of relatives will come to celebrate the wedding. But Joan replied that she was the only relative coming. So this was quite surprising for the Swami, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. But nonetheless, he requested her to help with the cooking. And this was prophetic, because of all the cooks amongst Prabhupada's disciples, Jamuna Devi Dasi was the quintessence of the cooks. And her first seva was to cook with Srila Prabhupada. And again, she describes this, that while she was helping Prabhupada make kachoris, Prabhupada made 14 other preparations by himself in a galley kitchen for all the guests. And during this process, it was very hot, a summer in New York, she started to perspire and she needed a break. So she said to the Swamiji, "Is it all right if I smoke a cigarette?" And he allowed her to do that, and when she came back, he said, "Now wash your hands." And she could continue. And that happened 3 times. "May I take a break to smoke?" "Yes, now wash your hands." So he was training her from the beginning in cleanliness. And he also explained to her how in this cooking we don't taste. We do it as a service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Jamuna Devi was captivated by Srila Prabhupada, by his qualities, by his purity, by his character, his devotion. This was a life-changing event for her. And after this wedding, Jan and Michael, who are now Janaki and Mukunda, they wanted to go first to India, and Prabhupada said, "That's fine, but on your way, why not open a temple in San Francisco?" So they did, and they drove from New York City to San Francisco, and Jamuna Prabhu joined them in that car. And when they got to San Francisco, this perhaps is an aspect of her history that is less known. But Jamuna had taken with her the 3 original Bhagavatams that Prabhupada brought from India. And she went off into the Aragon forest by herself to follow the rules and regulations, the 4 principles, and to read Srimad Bhagavatam, because she felt she didn't want to become a blind follower. She didn't want to follow because her sister was following, her friends were following. She wanted to decide for herself if this was her path in life. So she, for that time, in that pristine environment, she studied Srimad Bhagavatam by His Divine Grace. And she chanted Hare Krishna, and she followed the 4 rules and regulations. And after days and days of doing this, she decided that this is how she wanted to spend the rest of her life. And she never wavered from that decision, despite all the problems, the obstacles, the challenges that she faced, and there were many, many in her life in Krishna consciousness. She never wavered from that initial conviction based on following Prabhupada's instructions and reading his purports. And then perhaps you're familiar with the history that she and Mukunda and Janaki and later on Gurdas and also Malati and Shamsundar, they were the pioneers of the San Francisco temple, which became extremely popular amongst the hippies for the prasadam. They started Rath Yatra. They were worshipping Lord Jagannath under Prabhupada's directions. And from there, Prabhupada sent those 6 pioneer devotees, plus Saraswati, the daughter of Shamsundar and Malati, to England, where they had tremendous challenges starting the temple in England. Another story that may be less known is, first, they arrived in Amsterdam. And at that time, the regulations in England were that a couple entering the country from abroad had to have at least $500, which was a lot at that time, between them. And at that time, those 6 had $500 between all 6. So when they went to Amsterdam, they went 2 by 2 into England, and then they sent, via Western Union, that money back to the others. And so that way they all gradually got into the country. And they had no place to live. They were living separately, just scraping by. And Jamuna said during that time, she was simply praying to Srila Prabhupada to please give them guidance, give them strength. And with great endeavor, they contacted the Beatles. And that became the lightning rod from which Krishna consciousness spread. Prabhupada came. He was living in John Lennon's estate at first. They opened the Burry Place Temple, installed the beautiful deities that are still being worshipped in London. And then there was the next pioneering phase where Jamuna and Gurdas and Malati and Shamsundar also and Saraswati went to India. They came here to India and they traveled with Srila Prabhupada extensively, having programs, kirtan programs. Very often Srila Prabhupada would ask Jamuna to lead the kirtans. He was so fond of the way that she could lead, but also that she had the ability to draw the audience into the Maha Mantra. So the audience would also be singing. That was a very important feature. It wasn't just a performance, but the audience was involved. Prabhupada also had she and her husband Gurdas begin the Delhi temple. That's an amazing story, that they were on a train. The train stopped in Delhi, and a man came on the train saying, "Srila Prabhupada, I really appreciate your work, all the service you're doing. I see the devotion, how you're following your spiritual master. I want to help you start a temple in Delhi." So Prabhupada said, "Well, I have an engagement in Bombay where we're going, but Gurdas and Jamuna, you get down and start a temple in Delhi." Like that. It was a 20-minute stop. And Gurdas agreed. He said, "But we can't do just the two of us. We need some help." So Prabhupada said, "Yes." So they picked another few people, Ramacharis, and the few of them got down in Delhi, and they started a temple. And now there's so many temples in Delhi. So this is the fearless pioneering seva that Jamuna was doing. Prabhupada also entrusted her and her husband Gurdas to establish the Sri Sri Krishna Balaram temple here in Ramanreti. And that was incredibly difficult, trying to function in the very austere climate of Vrindavan, not knowing so well the culture, not speaking the language so well. So many obstacles were there. But especially we can attribute the beauty of the deities, Sri Sri Gaurinitai, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar, to Jamuna Devi Dasi, because she personally oversaw the carving of the deities, and especially Radha Shyam Sundar. Radharani's face is so beautiful. It was Jamuna Devi Dasi personally was working with the Makutwala in Jayapur to ensure that she was perfect in every aspect. And then, of course, every morning throughout all the temples that Prabhupada established, we hear Jamuna as the lead singer in the Govindam prayers. So these are just a few tastes of how she contributed to the mission of her spiritual master and how we all are indebted to her. And I can't stop there, really, because it's only the beginning. Jamuna went on to make it her special prerogative and her special desire to inspire the youth of ISKCON. She saw that the youth are the future. And so we will be hearing from some of these youth. And actually it is the youth that have arranged this today, so we can experience how her inspiration is living on through the special care that she took of the young people in Prabhupada's movement. And how she wanted to impress upon them so much that seva is not a performance, it's not a matter of ego, but it's a matter of service, trying to please the Lord, trying to please his devotees, trying to please Srila Prabhupada. And with this attitude, we can go on and on, feeling the freshness and the bliss of seva. But if we have some other desires, that we want to become popular, we want to become influential, then that taste will not be there for us, that sweet taste. So I don't want to take too much of your time. I know there are many, many speakers. Perhaps I'll hand it over to our servant of ceremonies, Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for your attention.